Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Wheelock College has just under 900 students, but the small school has the most diverse faculty in the state. The percentage of Black and Hispanic faculty there is over twice the national average, and much of those gains were made under the tenure of outgoing President Jackie Jenkins Scott. She also increased the number of first-generation college students at Wheelock from 25% to 41%. Jenkins Scott is stepping down next month. She served as Wheelock president for 12 years, and we sat down with her a little earlier today to discuss her legacy and the issues in higher education she's faced throughout the years. And we started with what President Jenkins Scott considers her greatest accomplishment.
The college has really reached out in ways it hadn't in the past to be reflective of the change in demographics in the city of Boston, the changing demographics in the nation. And I think we're really proud of the diversity on our campus now.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, because Wheelock does stand out amongst the many institutions of higher education in Massachusetts. I mean, it's a leader when it comes to diversity of faculty, for example. I mean, we were seeing that a Boston Globe survey found that tenured and tenured track faculty at Wheelock are 23% Black and Hispanic, compared to 8% or less at places like Harvard, MIT, BU, BC, etc. The national average is 9%. So you're, you know, roughly just almost three times the national average in terms of minority faculty. How did Wheelock do it?
You know, it's a calling card for us that we very proudly flash and carry. And there's been a commitment long before I came to Wheelock, commitment to these issues. And I just had the privilege of putting an explanation point behind it. And the wonderful thing about being on campuses is students are great to be around because they push us. And sometimes they're not quite as patient as we are, or, you know, they say, we're only here 4 years. We want to see the change now, you know. So one of the things that we've done over the past few years is we've really put more meat into our, we call it an Institutional Diversity and Inclusion Council.
Yeah.
And that council, you know, is looking at serious issues. It meets regularly, and it's composed of a cross-section of the college community, from students to faculty to staff, all kinds of people. And then we open up all the meetings.
Yeah. I think I read in an article that you were quoted in that another thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I read that you had said that another important thing is to create an environment amongst administrators, at least, where people working to increase diversity they don't feel cowed by potential criticisms of, you know, we're just doing it, or they're just doing it to be politically correct. I thought that was an interesting point, because even in this day and age where as a society we talk a lot about the value of diversity, there is always that the fear of the pushback that organizations are being diversified simply because it's politically correct. Was that ever a concern, or how do you handle
well, being an African American woman, not a concern, but I think it's, you know, what the results is what's important.
Yeah.
I never question the motives of people or institutions. So what if it's politically correct? If you're doing the right thing, you're doing the right thing.
You know, I think there's only one area in which maybe Wheelock has some work to do regarding diversity, because we were looking at the number of men and women.
I knew you were going to say that.
88% female student body, 12% male. Just wondering if
well, we're getting better. When I came, we were like 9% male.
So that's an improvement. Is that something that's important to Wheelock to attract more men?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things I like to say, because Wheelock, you know, its legacy and its history is a lot with early education. I like to say, you know, toddlers need to see men teachers too. Yeah. They need to see men on their, you know, playing with them on the play circles. They need, we need men in schools. We need men in all kinds of educational settings. We need men working with social justice issues. So one of the things I think our society has done has diminished the roles of these professions. So we have a challenge.
I want to spend some time talking with you about other aspects of your career so far. But before we move on, I do want to ask you something that we've asked every single college president who we've spoken to over the past many years, and that is the question of the cost of higher education today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because people are constantly asking, you know, how do I really assess if it's worth it?
Sure.
And I'm just wondering, how do you approach that question? Because, I mean, if it's a huge, huge question, especially for those people who might be attracted to a place like Wheelock because of the social justice aspect. And, you know, for better or for worse, those aren't necessarily jobs that'll lead to a six-figure salary as soon as you graduate.
Exactly. And our students leave with far too much debt. It costs too much. Higher education is, you know, one of our economic drivers in this city. We have 38 colleges and universities in Boston alone, 78 in Massachusetts. So we live in a competitive world. And the number of students, certainly in the Northeast, is flat and shrinking. And we're not going to see a turnaround until 2021. Huh. You know, we have to face it. Small, tuition-driven, mission-driven institutions like Wheelock College are fragile. And we have to find ways to protect them and support them because I really believe that it's very important for students to have options.
Yeah.
So it's no question it's a huge, huge challenge, yeah. And there is no question it costs too much money.
Well, speaking of that fragility, there was a report from the New England Association of Schools and Colleges June of last year that said that at Wheelock, faculty hiring and salaries haven't kept pace with the growing number of academic programs at the school. Mm-hmm. And the Globe then followed on and said that Wheelock is struggling financially. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Oh, sure. All institutions struggle. You know, Wheelock is a 128-year-old institution. And like all 128-year-old institutions, we have had our ups and our downs. And we have big dreams, big goals, big commitments with small endowments. So the challenges are big.
Yeah.
The challenges are big.
Well, speaking of ups and downs, I do have to ask you about a complaint that was filed against Wheelock this year by two professors, Eric Silverman and Gail Dines. Mm-hmm. They alleged to the EEOC that you and other administrators made their work lives very challenging, miserable in their terms, after they spoke out about a lack of Jewish perspectives on campus. And they filed this complaint with the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And I'm just wondering, it's a pretty serious charge. Wheelock has officially denied the allegations, but do you have a comment on that?
Unfortunately, because there is a formal complaint, I really can't comment, but to say that we have denied these allegations, and we feel that they're unfortunate. I feel that at the appropriate time, either the next president can come after the process has been completed and we're able to talk more fully about it, but I think the college will be fully exonerated.
Hmm. Well, one of the professors, Professor Dines, has said that people are scared to speak out about anything on campus because of what they say has happened to them. I mean, that is also a pretty serious charge. Does that concern you?
I think that if you look at what has happened on our campus over this past year and throughout the history of Wheelock, I think, you know, there would be a strong opinion that would not agree with that.
Okay. Well, as you said, the EEOC is currently looking into this. So
yes.
I take your point that perhaps you're not able to to comment, but we did have to ask you about that because it was an interesting juxtaposition given the celebration of the accomplishments regarding diversity that Wheelock has had. But I
think that's an example of when institutions are pretty open, these kinds of things can happen. So we're not in any, just by the mere fact that they brought their complaints and they are airing their complaints, I think says something about the openness of Wheelock College.
Well, I just want to spend the last couple minutes getting sort of your broader view about Boston, because you've had such a wonderful and long career here in aspects of social justice, health, advocacy. Mm-hmm. You've had this unique perspective. What do you think should be some of the key goals for the city going forward?
Well, first of all, I feel tremendously blessed. I think I've had, the kind of career experiences that for an African-American woman, very few can have. And I attribute that in part to being in this great city. And as a person of color, Boston has had... It's had a mixed relationship with people of color, but I can say truly that I've had some extraordinary experiences for which I am very, very grateful for. So that's kind of the good side, but the reality is that Boston has great opportunity to do more. If we think about where Boston will be or can be in 5 to 10 years, I think the sky's the limit, because of the energy, the commitment, the educational base, the commitment to all these issues that we've talked about, and the commitment to having these open conversations.
Well, Jackie Jenkins Scott is the president of Wheelock College. She'll be stepping down next month after serving there for 12 years. President Jenkins Scott, it's been a real pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
We'll be back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.